So a couple of weeks ago, some of us went to Mission Alive. Danny and Cindy and Kevin and Kimberly, Sarah, Jeanette, and Amanda. We went and spent a couple of days and doing this, and frankly, I didn't really know what to expect, but it was really a good time. But the thing, it's not a program and a blueprint that we're going to be able to come back and implement. It's not a study series that we can start and you know get started on right away. But Mission Alive is more about personal growth, and it's about giving tools that enable us to grow personally, enable us to help others grow. That's kind of the premise of it. And by, you guys can chime in any time if I get off track here. But that's what I got of it. So the weekend was really more of a, and they called it a lab. And it was the name of the lab was Cultivate Personal Discipleship. So it was really more about a time to sort of infuse the people that were there with some tools for spiritual growth, but to also help them grow. So it wasn't so much like a seminar, but it was more like a spiritual retreat. In fact, one of the mantras, I think, for the weekend, you'll probably hear it again sometime today, was God has to work in you before he can work through you. So the whole idea was to start working on yourself. And I'll just give you just a brief idea of just some of the activities we did. Like I said, it was more like a spiritual retreat, so we did... We heard some nice inspirational messages from people. We did a lot of self-assessment, and then we did the sort of group exercises, which are the huddles that you probably heard people talk about some. So just some of the things we did. We did a SWOT analysis: strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And people in business are probably, if you're familiar with that, you've probably done those before. And I think that's one of the things we're going to do this morning. Start off with, we talked about, we had a session on claiming your identity in Christ, which is something Cindy's going to talk about a little later. We talked about dealing with our, basically our sin, but our worldly attachments and how that interferes with our spiritual life and how to deal with that. Then we participated in the huddles, which were the group exercises, and the main theme of that was one of the premises of this, as far as giving you tools, is giving you sort of what they call life shapes, things that help you form your spiritual life. And one of the things was the learning circle. And the learning circle is when you have a something they call a kairos moment, where some event, kairos is the Greek word for time, that means like some event happens to you, you get inspired, maybe something happens in your life, and you need to understand how to weave it into your spiritual life and what God's trying to work through you. So they have a process where you go through the circle, and that was what we did with the huddles at that point, working you through how that works and how the learning circle works. And then they gave us some spiritual practices with regard to prayer and how to pray and some methods and just some tools, maybe some journaling. And so we practiced some of those things. So it was good. The next lab is in November. I forgot what it was called. You guys remember? Okay. Yeah, it was, but I think that's going to be more of a, maybe more of an implementation kind of a thing. Mission something. Yeah, I can't remember. I'm sorry. Mission communities. And in the meantime, they're basically going to have huddles that I think Kevin and Cindy are going to participate in from our group. And they'll basically, I'm not sure how that's going to work. I'm not sure you guys know how it's going to work yet. Okay, but that's going to basically kind of be an example of how to do this. So they're going to be doing that. Danny is our designated leader, and they're going to be interacting with him in some ways during this process. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work either. But for us going forward, our challenge is going to be to see how we can apply or to understand how to apply these tools that we learned here to us. Because that's one of the things, it's not, like I said, it's not a program, it's not a blueprint. It's a set of tools, and some of them may or may not apply to the way we are, and when some of the way they get implemented may be different than the way we even see them modeled by these people. So that's going to be our challenge going forward, to do that, and we'll probably talk about that some more in the, you know, after, you know, during our meeting later this afternoon, how that's going to work. Because frankly, I'm not sure how it's going to work, but I think it will. I think because I think the tools that they have were really good. And it was really a good weekend. I mean, it was good from a personal, spiritual standpoint. So I think, so I guess at this point, Kevin and Kimberly are going to lead us through a SWOT analysis.
Okay, I'm just going to talk real quick, and then Kimberly's going to come up and pass some things out. We're going to go through this SWOT thing. But to expand upon a little bit on what Steve said, Cindy and I will be in a huddle group. Where it's a weekly conference call that there will be 8 to 10 people in this group. It's led by one of the leaders that was at the retreat that we went to. They will lead that. What the purpose of that is for us to be able to get together as groups from different areas and basically get the tools that we need to come back to the church and help the church and help the people as we go through this process. Okay, this is not a quick fix. It is a journey, okay? And that's the key that everyone needs to remember is we need to start. It starts with us, as Steve said, getting ourselves aligned with God. And then once we're working through aligning ourselves with God, then we can go out and spread out. So every little step along the way is important. There's a reason for it. And we just have to be patient and understand that it's a journey. And then it'll help us along the way. Okay, for the SWOT analysis, you want me to pass those out for you? Okay.
I can't see y'all without these, and I can't read with them, so I'm on a better. I know. Okay, I want to start with, I'm passing out a passage. I need one, too. This was the very first exercise we did when we came together that Friday morning. And before we started, they passed out this psalm. So the first thing I want us to do is just, I guess I'll read it out loud. Just follow along with me and just kind of soak in the words. Has everybody got one? Okay. So this is Psalm 139, portions of it. Oh, and there's two different versions, but I'm going to read the New International Version. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even though your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be too dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. If I praise you, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Then just let that wash over you. I mean, the Lord God knows you better than you know yourself. But I think kind of segueing into this first exercise, it's very important for us to reflect and know where we are in our walk with God. Because if you don't know where you are, it's really hard to move with any intention and be able to make meaningful advances or progression. Does that make sense? So they have adopted this SWOT analysis. Is anybody familiar with it in your work life or anything like that? Has anybody ever done one? It's a strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat. And so you can take that, and I need a new one. I have my old one. And we can kind of get some hard data on your spiritual life. You know, we like to quantify things, and some of us, that makes a whole lot of sense. For some of us, this is not going to resonate as well. But the good thing is that there are lots of ways to think about your spiritual walk, and this is one of them. I found it a little, it was good. It was a little too much data-like for me, but some of you are really gonna, this is really gonna resonate. But the goal is, and the point is, to kind of gauge where you are in your spiritual walk. And for the weakness and the strength, that is what's going on internally. That's try to think about, okay, where am I weak and where am I strong in my spiritual walk with God? So you can see you've got it's a continuum from the very far left, far away, don't feel very connected to God at all, all the way to the far right, where I feel really strong in my spiritual walk. So kind of, you're going to need a pen. Everybody pull out a pen. If you don't have one, grab one. Sorry, I should have said that earlier. Again, you'll get out of this what you put into it. So everybody got one? I've got several in my purse. So try to think about where you are and maybe even put a little pinpoint on it. And then the y-axis, opportunity and threat, those are more external. That's what's going on externally that you really don't have a lot of control over, but you can take advantage of. So for instance, in the opportunity, what opportunities are around you from a spiritual perspective that you could take advantage of, all the way down to threats. What's going on that more of a negative connotation? Again, you don't have a lot of control over it. It's not what's going on internally, it's what's going on around you. So if you want, I would like for you to think about this in two different ways. So you've got the four different quadrants, right? Be thinking of it. You might even make one part of that quadrant personal. What's going on in your life personally, and then in our church as a group, as a whole? What's going on? So for instance, this is what mine looked like when I got done with it on that Friday. So I have personal and church in each quadrant, and you can see each quadrant's labeled. So when you've got opportunity in your weakness, there's frustration. There's something that could be done either personally or in your church, but you're in a weak state. So you're going to feel frustration. That's the emotion that's going to come out when you're in that quadrant. Conversely, if you're stronger in your faith, in your walk, then you're going to feel a breakthrough. When you've got opportunity and you're ready for it from a spiritual perspective, you're going to be in that right quadrant, that top right quadrant, and you're going to feel some sort of a breakthrough or success. Then you go down to the bottom, the far left, the left quadrant. When you've got weakness and there's a threat, there's an external something going on that's not good, it feels like a complete failure. You're in I think we've probably all felt that. And then on the far right at the bottom, strength met with threat, that's a battle. That's where, yes, there are things going on that aren't necessarily good from an external perspective, but I'm prepared to face it. And so hopefully these battles can turn into breakthroughs, you know, through the way we're working with it. Is any of this making sense? Are y'all tracking with me? Anybody have any questions? Because what I want us to do now is I want you to take a few minutes. This is introspective. We're looking inside and trying to figure out where we are in our walk and in what's going on around us. So I want you to think about, where are you experiencing frustration in your personal walk with God? And just make a few notes in that top left quadrant. And then think about our church as a group. Where are we experiencing frustration? What opportunities are there that we're not meeting because we're not ready or for whatever the reason is? And then do the same thing in the bottom left. Where in your personal life are you experiencing failure? Where is the outside threat and you're not ready for it and it's not working? And then let's do that with corporately through the church. So, and then do that with each quadrant. So I'm thinking we ought to take about 5 minutes and just really think about, and something might not come to mind immediately, and that's okay. And then hopefully we'll have a couple of minutes and maybe we can talk about it, huddle up in small groups so we can debrief and talk about it with each other. Okay? Any questions? See a few confused looks. Okay, it's going to be quiet now because you're going to be working. Okay, let's find two or three people where you can huddle up and kind of share some of the things. And I know some things are going to be really personal and you don't have to share those if you don't want, but hopefully there will be either a breakthrough or a frustration that you can talk through, and maybe if you're a little confused, you can gain some clarity with someone else. So
it would be helpful if one of the people who attended.
Yeah, let's spread out.
Yeah, we'll spread out. You know, each of us will spread. Yeah.
Okay, I love that you guys are all talking, but we're gonna have to wrap this up so we can get ready for worship. So, Kevin's going to close us with prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the open minds and open hearts here in this church. And we all know that you want us to be with you. Do you want to work through us? And we all are here waiting patiently for you, and we will wait patiently as we work our way through this. We know you're going to help us through this. We believe in you and we trust in you. And as we go through this journey, help us to always remember the focus is on you and to work our way through that and keep the focus where it belongs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I'm just going to take a moment to reset. I think most of you were here this morning, but we're one of the purposes this morning is to sort of give a report or impart some information that we got from a Mission Alive conference a couple of weeks ago. Several of us went, Danny and Cindy and Kimberly and Kevin, Sarah, Amanda, and who am I forgetting? Jeanette, of course, Jeanette. That's bad. Okay. So anyway, it was really good. It was called, they called it a lab. It was called Cultivate Your Personal Discipleship. And just really quickly, I'll reiterate from this morning what it's not. It's not a very specific program that we're going to come back and implement, and with a step-by-step procedure and a blueprint, and it's not a study series. Instead, it's more of a, it's a, it is a, they, they're providing a set of tools that we can use that's targeted to spiritual growth. And I think that we all got quite a bit out of it. This wasn't as much of a seminar this last couple of weeks ago as it was just a spiritual retreat. So we did a lot of personal assessment, inspirational messages, heard, did a lot of group exercises, They imparted some spiritual practices for us to learn and incorporate into our life. So from that point, it was really good. Moving forward, Cindy and Kevin are going to be involved in the huddles, and we're going to see where that goes, and we're going to just try to soak in what they can provide us, and then the next step is to see how we can move it into our body here to CCC. And we don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet, but this morning is to get us started, so we can kind of let you guys know what's been going on. Cindy's going to be up here in a minute, and she's going to talk about our identity in Christ, which was one of the topics that we talked about, one of the first exercises that they had us go through to talk about who we are and how God sees us versus how the world sees us, or how we see ourselves. So Cindy's going to talk about that, and then we'll go on.
Kimberly and Kevin led us in an activity this morning, and I just wanted to share that when I went through, we did that activity, the SWOT analysis at the retreat. And then when I did it this morning, what I did with mine is I went back and looked at what I had put down, and I was amazed to see how many things had moved. Because what they had us doing that weekend, we went through all of these growth things, and in the end, we made an action plan, which is right up my alley, because that's what I do for a living. So I made an action plan, and as I've started to implement that, not perfectly, but as I've started to work toward implementing that, everything that was in my failure, which my action plan was built around the SWOT, and everything that was in my failure is now a battle. It's now moved over to, now I'm working through that, I'm battling through that, it's no longer a failure in my life. So I thought it was very encouraging that as you work on these personal growth things, that it really works. It really works. And we can't possibly tell you everything we learned in two full days in these short amount of time. And so we're going to continue to work on that the next 6 months, hopefully as a family together. So what's in a name? Which one do I push? Okay. So every year, people name their babies throughout the year. And the Census Bureau and the, is it okay? Okay, and the Social Security people put out lists of names, and they don't publish anything where five children or less are named. They don't publish those because that's too pinpointing, but anything five and above, they publish, and down at the bottom, those five, six, and seven are some very unusual names. Now, I'm not going to make fun of them because we were down there 1 year. In 1991, we were down there with Kaysen. That was a very unusual name, and it's now not, but at one point we were down in that area. But these are some of the most unusual names of 2013. At least five people named their child Disney. Erie. Money. Shady. Stony. Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? I'm not sure. Emperor, and Vader. Luke, I am your father. So as you think about these names, how would they impact a child's life? Positive or negative? Depends. Definitely, there's lots of things that could go either way. On Yahoo, there's an article that comes from 2011 about the name Nakusa or Nakushi. It is a very common Indian girl's name in India. Sounds pretty, but it means unwanted. Very popular girl's name in India, but it means unwanted. How does being named unwanted affect a child's identity? The girls in the article said it made them feel worthless, like a worthless burden. And basically, that's what they were named. Because the reason this name is the way it is because in India, a boy means money for the family. A girl means financial drain. Because when a girl marries, she must take a very large dowry with her. The family has to supply a very large dowry. On the other side, if a man marries, the family gets the very large dowry. And so it has gotten to be an epidemic in India of girls being unwanted. And so what one district in India did was they hosted a ceremony to rename 285 girls. They were allowed to choose their name, and they went through this renaming ceremony. And believe it or not, they chose things that meant strength, beautiful, strong, things about their character that they wanted to bring out rather than being called unwanted. So, well, that didn't fade in like it was supposed to. Our names and labels. So what I want you to do right now is just use a space in your Sunday sheet under notes, and I want you to just think of the names and labels that you have for yourself. Some are things that are present, some are things that are past, some are things that you believe about yourself, some are things you don't believe, some are positive, some are negative, some are real, and some are perceived. Just make a list. I'm going to give you about a minute. Just make a list of all the names and labels that across your life you've heard about yourself. So as you wrote some of these down, I know probably a lot of us wrote mother, sister, daughter. Those kinds of labels are all very positive and uplifting and part of who we are and help form our identity. As a child, my nickname was Cindy Bug, and that later became every form of that you can imagine. My dad was very creative. He could do it in every language, but it settled on Bugger. So my nickname for my entire life has been Bugger. It didn't mean pest. It was a very positive thing. It meant I was loved. When anyone called me that in my family, that meant I was loved, and that helped form my identity. There were others that, when I was in high school, I was called Bird Legs. That was not particularly good for my identity. It made me feel less than I was. So some of them make us feel less, and some of them make us feel more. If we are constantly told that we are the most beautiful, most perfect person in the world, that can sound very positive, but it can lead to problems in our identity of always having to be perfect and not being able to live up to that, of having to be beautiful and having to work to live up to that. Or it can lead to pride and things like that. Our names and labels can reflect damage. If your label is unwanted or burden, that's going to reflect damage on your life. It might reflect rejection or abuse. Names and labels also impact our behavior. So we have these names and labels, and they form our identity, and this is all below the surface. This is how what we believe about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, and then from that, it's how we behave. So we perform out of those identities. So if I feel loved, I act out love. If I feel rejected, I act out in ways of rejection where I hide myself, I don't come to my full potential, and so my behavior reflects that. If I feel unwanted, then I hide rather than flourish. Praise God that God is in the renaming business. He renamed several people throughout the Bible. Abram and Sarai became Abraham and Sarah, the father and mother of many nations. Simon became Peter, the rock on which our church is built. Jacob, deceiver, became Israel, the prince of God. Saul became Paul. I don't have that one up there, and I don't know that there's any meaning to the word Paul other than you are a changed person, so your name has changed. So we're going to read Romans. I want you to turn in your Bible, and unfortunately I didn't put that in a slide, so you're going to need a Bible, or I will read it aloud. How about that? I'll read it aloud. I didn't think about that. We normally put things up there. We're going to read at Romans 8, 1 through 17 and 31 through 39. And while I read this, I want you to write down all the names and labels that God affords his people. So on the other side of your notes, just write down everything you hear that's a name or a label that God gives us as his people. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. It is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Well, then, What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom Christ has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What are some of the things you wrote down?
Sinful?
Free.
Do what?
Free.
Free. Not condemned. Conquerors.
Sons of God.
Heirs, sons of God.
Controlled by the Spirit. Connected to God.
These are all great. Alive. Righteous. I love that one. Made righteous.
Obligated.
Okay. I think you've named most of the ones that I had written up here and added a few more. I'm not sure, did we get interceded for? And then most importantly, loved. We are loved by God, called his sons and called his heirs. So if we are renamed by God and we claim one of these names of God and allow His identity to define us, rather than the identities that we wrote down before that other people have said about us, if we allow His identities to define us. Both of these things, Romans 5:5 tells us, are a gift from Him. They're not because of what we've done. They're because of who He is and what He's done. Then He freely gives this gift to us, this renaming. We can be renamed. We do not have to be defined by the names that the world has placed upon us. He defines us. He names us. And if we do that, then we have obedience and discipleship. We learn to become like Jesus as we obey and respond to the Holy Spirit within us. As we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and His righteousness to fill us, then we learn to become like Him, and our identity is defined by Him. Claiming your name. Everyone should have a piece of cardboard and a pen under your seat. If you do not, raise your hand. We have more. If you do not have a piece of cardboard and a pen under your, or a marker under your seat. Okay, so we're gonna play a song called Remind Me. And as you listen to the words of the song, on one side of the sign, I want you to write a name or a label that you want to shed. Of course, I want a keep bugger. That's not a name I want to shed. It means love to me. But I want to write a name that I want to shed, a label that I want to shed, something that I want not to be defined by on one side. And then I want you to flip it over the other side. And I want you to write a name that you, a name in Christ that you want to claim and replace what you're shedding. So as you listen to this song, think about a label you want to shed and one that you want to claim in Christ, and write those down.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror all I see, it's who I don't wanna be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me. Once again, who I am to to you who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Whoa.
I wanted to share this part of the retreat with you because it spoke to me. It just spoke to me in a real way. I had been struggling with things at work, with things that were going on there. I had begun to use words that I had never used in my life. Not that I care. I was raised with sailors, can I just say? And so words really never meant a lot to me. There's a few words that truly offend me, but not many. The difference in some words is just connotation to me. But I had chosen way back when I was a teen to set myself apart from my sailor parents and not use those words. And I had begun to use those words. And it wasn't me. And it wasn't the words, it was the pattern in me. I'd begun to make fun of people at work. I don't like that. I'd become a part of some very negative talk at work. And I had already started seeing this in myself. And so when this part of the session came up, it was like, damn, this is what's wrong. I am being a follower of others. I am taking on their personalities. I am not being led by the Spirit. And so that's mine. I was a follower of Christ, and I want to shed that identity. And I want to be led by the Spirit. And so we're going to have a little sharing time here. If you would like to share your sign, then I'm going to invite you to come up and do that with everyone. So everybody can come stairs.
As a kid growing up, I was called the black sheep of the family. One of the reasons that I named my daughter what I named her was hoping to change that. And now I'm chosen by God, and I'm salt and light.
I have lately been feeling somewhat incompetent, like a failure, and I want to feel free not to worry about that.
Growing up, which I did, I was called Goliath, and now I'm a child of God.
Yay! You don't have to come up here. You can just stand where you are, too.
Well, I was always called a doormat in the grandma because of health issues for volleyball, and I was called healthy courageous.
Anybody else? Be brave. Anybody claiming bravery?
I put not able, and then under that, a worrier, because that has been me quite a bit. I tell myself that too, and I put in God's hands. I want to remember always what it is.
So if you truly want to take on these new identities in Christ, we have to be intentional. It's one thing we hear over and over and over at school, right, Sully? We have to be intentional with everything we do. Nothing happens by chance. I don't grow in Christ by chance. And so I have to develop these relationships, first up to God, and that happens through prayer, Bible study, worship, and rest. Those help me grow in relationship to Him. And then I have to grow in relationship in, and in is the church, my fellow Christians, my fellow believers, and that's in relationship, fellowship, and encouragement. Oh, I forgot to put that E in there, didn't I? And then I can grow out into the world and through restoration and outreach. And as Steve said this morning, one of the mantras of the weekend was that God cannot do through us what He has not done in us. So if He has not worked in me, He cannot work through me. And so we're focusing on how God can work in us over these next 6 months, and then in November we'll go back and learn another step. So it has to be a conscious decision to claim or change our identity or to make these changes. And we have to have a plan for trouble areas. And part of my plan was to get rid of worthless novels or leverage those against my prayer and Bible study time, and to make sure I have time for God and get in the Word and pray with Him. And so Danny and I have started an 8:30 meeting. We haven't done it every night, but we're really working toward it. And so we stop everything around 8:30, and we stop and meet and pray and study together, and then we go back to whatever we had to get done for the evening. And so we're being intentional about that. It's not just going to happen. We have to be intentional. And then another thing that we can do is ask people to help us. And a lot of people don't like the word accountability, but if I'm asking for it, it's not imposed on me. And so we have asked people to help hold us accountable and to work through this with us. And then our group of is going to be working through a lot of this together too. Seniors, as you go off, this is a very, very applicable thought for you, because you're going to be inundated with identities not of Christ all around you, as we are in the, I mean, I am at work every day. It doesn't really change. And if you're not intentional about who you are as you leave, if you haven't thought that through and you haven't claimed that and you haven't come up with a plan, it's going to be very easy to shed the identity of Christ and go along with the crowd. So think about that as you go on, and think about your identity in Christ and who you want to be and who you want those people at the school, wherever you're going to go or whatever your next journey is, what you want them to see you as. In closing today, I want to pray Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 over you and over us as a family. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.